Mental Health Monday Marathon with Mick Coyle on Radio City Talk.
Just coming round to 11:45. My name's Mick Coyle. Jake Mills is with us in the studio. I'm very pleased to say our next guest is here as well. An MBE, it's Alan Woodhouse. Alan, it's great to see you.
Thank you very much.
I'd be very proud of the MBE.
I wonder what MBE really stands for. You
know? I'm sure you've been told by many different people. You have been a volunteer with the Liverpool Samaritans for 57 years, it says here.
I took one of the very first phone calls in 1960. Wow. When the branch was down at St Nick's. And we lived underground then, because if you think about where the church is on Chapel Street, there are some windows underneath, in the built into the wall, which were the kind of undercroft of the church. And the Samaritan room was down there. And it consisted of two sort of camp beds, because you didn't do a night duty on your own, you see, ever.
Yeah.
We're against people doing duties on their own any time, because you need some support within the branch. And these windows were about at high level, you see. And in those days, in the 1960s, everything started at the pierhead. You know where the canal comes in? Great big open space. And one end of it was the bus station. And about 6 o'clock in the morning, you never overslept, because the buses started, these great double-deckers, coming up, and they all came up Chapel Street, you see, and we were on the level of the wall, of the wheels, you know, and the wheels went round, and you got up and you got out of it as quickly as you could. And we started only doing night duties. And there were 24 of us to begin with. In the daytime, a couple of the clergy looked after the Samaritan telephone because they were there and they could do so. It started out of something that was really sad, you know. The previous rector had gone to become a bishop, and after about 6 months, and we never found out why, and of course you wouldn't find out why, and you wouldn't really want to know, he was found dead in a hotel room on his own. And it, you can imagine the effect on the parish, on the congregation, was just absolutely awful. But of course we had a suicide, didn't we? And what do you do? It was very rare in those days to get actual suicide and evidence for it, because, of course, it was still a crime, you see. Yeah. And that was dodgy, of course, because you're going to start up a Samaritan branch and you're going to go into an area of experience where you're going to be involved in what is technically criminal... Well, not exactly activity, but you're receiving criminal information. And so it was very dodgy being a Samaritan in the early 1960s. And there was only one other branch, of course, in London, that branch that was started by Chad Varra. And we were very different from that, because we were very ordinary and we were untrained. And we had to do all our own preparation. How do you prepare for something that you've never come across? And there were no mental health services, or very few, because it wasn't very long. 1960s, see, wasn't very long after the war. The war finished in 45. And there were social work departments and psychiatric medicine were not really very skillfully deployed across Merseyside. And where do you get your learning from? And in fact, what you had to do, it from practice. You had to listen. Mm-hmm. And eventually, it became clear that, by and large, what we were listening for and to, whether it was suicidal thoughts or not, had to do with loss. That the sort of things that were coming down the phone were things like family breakup, bereavement, death, loss of a child, breakup of a relationship, and depressive illness.
Those things that we talked about, and at the top of the programme I talked about, depression, anxiety, stress.
Good.
Those things now which have all got capital letters at the start of them. When they were coming in as phone calls to you in the 1960s, yes, you didn't have those as categories to label them under.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We did learn very early about depressive illness because very shortly after Liverpool started, within a couple of years, there were about 25 other branches. It was the beginning of a kind of flowering.
Yeah.
Obviously, this was something that was needed. And because of that, we began to be thinking about having somebody to look after us centrally. And so this idea that's behind what we now call central office began to grow. And we got, very early on, a really, really good psychiatrist who was retired. He was a guy called George Day, and he came from Norfolk. And when he came into the movement, it was really something quite unusual, because we didn't accept professionals. If you were a doctor, you couldn't be a Samaritan. If you were a psychiatrist, you couldn't be a Samaritan, because it was thought to be only for ordinary people, listen to ordinary people. And it worked. Mm. It was wonderful, you know. But he came in and he said to us, up to then, people, you know, do you remember Chad Varra? Have you heard anything about Chad Varra? He was the founder of the movement. And he was focused too much on sexuality. He thought that all the things that caused suicide and unhappiness and pain were sexual in origin. And he was wrong, because very soon this guy, George Day, came to us with some statistics of what he'd listened to. And what was there? 2/3 of the stuff that was coming through the Samaritan telephone was about depression. Mm. Hooray!
Were people saying, I am depressed?
No, they're not.
How were they as laymen, lay women contacting you? How were they describing their mental health in a time where it wasn't a mainstream thing to discuss?
We don't do it now, and I think it's a sadness that we don't, but since all our training has become national, we don't really have any choice about doing particular things. But in Liverpool, largely from my persuading, we always had in preparation at least one class on depressive illness, because loss was always there in some form or another, and that's how it came over. I don't sleep well anymore. I'm not eating. Yeah, I'm not interested in sex. I have pain, which is not physical pain. I am bewildered from time to time. And they were all about things which hadn't been there before when they were all right, and now were taking over their lives. And a lot of the stuff that was presented to us in terms of the reasons for ringing had to do with loss. It had to do with marriage breakup. It had to do with loss of a child. Bereavement's a big one, yeah? It had to do with job loss. And it's still the same. It's still the same.
We're actually going to speak to some of your team members later on tonight. In fact, in the middle of the night, where they're going to come off shift and come straight into the tower.
They are indeed.
To talk about their experiences, not of the callers that they've made. But I wanted to ask you this, because I think this is a really key point for people who are listening. If people have never called the Samaritans before, but they're thinking about calling the Samaritans, you mentioned there, you know, it's about listening. What will they hear? What will they be encouraged to say? What experience will they have from Calling the Samaritans?
They will say, they will hear, the Samaritans, can we help you? And they will be encouraged to talk. It doesn't matter about what they talk. And we'll want them eventually to be able to talk about what's hurting them. We'll like them to be able to feel open enough and free enough to tell us what's hurting them now. Now, we're not solvers. We aren't problem solvers. We can't solve problems. But we can give the people who phone us loving kindness, time, which is very important. Talk about the psychiatric services not being available at the weekend. I could tell you something about that. Time, cheerfulness, quiet, so that they can say what they want for as long as they want, as long as they need to. And some Samaritan support in the sense of the fact that we're always there, yeah, day and night. We will listen to them. We won't betray them. We will do our best to look after them as often as they want to ring us. And if they want information about further things that might help them, professional things that might help them, then we have a list, and we call it signposting. If you have somebody with alcoholic problems, all talking to the Samaritans till the cows come home are not going to solve the alcoholism. So you need to have, as your extra resources, a bank, if you like, of material where you can pass the information over to them. If they use it, that's fine. If they don't want to use it, it doesn't mean they say they can't ring Samaritans again. Is that all right?
Absolutely. That makes absolute sense. Absolutely. And because it puts people in mind as well that if they do call, that they'll have that opportunity to talk as well. But then that signposting will also be there, that it's not just a case of put the phone and call down and a week later feel like you're back in the same place.
But, you know, it's really about comfort. It's really about having somebody there who cares, who will look after you when you're in the depths. You know, it's equivalent to the parable. That's, I suppose, why we're called Samaritans.
Absolutely.
You know, he didn't go off and ring the police. He put him on his donkey. He looked after his wounds, didn't he? And he took him somewhere where he'd get looked after and fed. And that's the material bit, which we don't do now, of course, because it ain't the necessity. The necessity is looking after what's going on inside that personality. You know,
if people want to find out more information about Liverpool Samaritans, they've got a really good website, but also samaritans.org, and the number you can call at any time, 116123. That's 116123. On the website as well, there's details of how you can speak to somebody in regard to email as well, if you want to do things in a digital format as well. Alan, I wish we could spend more time with you. Unfortunately, we're out of time, and we've got so many guests to speak to in this.
What about people coming to the door? What about people coming to the door? This is really important because that number you've given out will not bring them to us.
True.
It'll bring them into Samaritans. Yeah? We used to have our own numbers, and we haven't anymore, unfortunately. So 116123 will take them into the Samaritan movement. If they want to see Liverpool Samaritans, get them to come to the door.
Where's your door? What's the address?
It's 25 Clarence Street.
And what we'll do, we'll get a link up on our social media now so that people can find out exactly where it is with a little map.
It's halfway up Brownlow Hill, going up towards the Roman Catholic Cathedral.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you for your time, Alan. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for sharing your story. Really appreciate it. I feel like there was a lot more to get from Alan, but unfortunately,
we've got so many
more people who are lined up to come on the show. Thank you for your time out today. It's really appreciated.
Mental Health Monday Marathon. Tackling the stigma.